For life.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, your mother's favorite podcaster, aka the microphone messiah. I am joined by the current reigning, sometimes defending, whenever there's a pay-per-view or PLE, Bulletcast podcast champion, Poison Scarlet, and of course, Bulletcast in the bank, Brandon Tanguma. Guys, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I'm not doing great. I'm doing adequate.
Okay. Why? Only adequate?
Why is that?
Yeah. You know, I don't want to put on, you know, it's troubling times right now, you know. Mm. Yeah, smoke. There's wildfires. There's other stuff. I mean, there's always stuff going on in the world.
I mean, that is a yearly occurrence now. Yes. California has spring, summer, fire, fall. Not really a winter per se.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Big Toko's kickback too happened. What a show. What a card. Congrats to everybody that got to perform. Toko and Journey, they put on one hell of a match with AJ Gray and Big Ugly. The legend came out of retirement to go to war with the New Era Savage and the Odyssey of Death, and it was something special. Just shout out to the whole Oasis team, man. We did something special Saturday night. Yeah. Moving on from that, The Rock returned to SmackDown, returned to WWE for the first time in 4 years since the first episode of SmackDown that aired on Fox. Yeah, man. Yeah. So we can just incorporate the first topic on Outside of the Ring into this. So College Game Day was going on in Colorado. Rock was on Pat McAfee's show. And Pat McAfee, you know, he talked about he asked The Rock about, you know, how close are we getting him and Roman. Rock said in early 2022, he had a meeting with Nick Khan and Vince McMahon, that it was locked in. And then, you know, they couldn't come up with something special for the fans to lead to something special. So they put their pencils down. And then, you know, we got Cody versus Roman at 39 in Los Angeles instead of Rock versus Roman. And then, you know, nobody was really suspecting, you know, that they'd show up there. I mean, it's a few hours away, but, you know, The Rock didn't show up for his 25th anniversary. So, you know, nobody was thinking this. Pat McAfee comes there. Austin Theory shows up. And Pat McAfee's, no, this is the show of the people. So you know what that means. And if your smell hits, crowd goes crazy. Rock does his usual, you know, shut your bitch ass up. Hits the spine buster, the electricity. Hits the people's elbow. Brandon, what are your thoughts on The Rock? We don't know if this is a long-term thing. This might just be one night only. But,
what do you think? I mean, WWE definitely is benefiting from the writer's strike and the actor's strike right now with John Cena and The Rock.
I mean,
coming back.
The first televised product under the TKO umbrella. Massive SmackDown. In the first 45 minutes, you had John Cena, The Rock, AJ Styles, Rey Mysterio, Pat McAfee. Come on. Come on.
I mean, it was a hell of a moment. I mean, crowd was, you know, the building was packed to the gills. Unbelievable pop. And, you know, it's something we don't see too often here, unfortunately, with, like, today's stars. But, you know, the rare double pop is something that, you know, The Rock and others will get. Of the music hits, you get the big pop, and then you get like another ginormous pop when he comes out and you see him for the first time. So, I mean, I should have suspected it. I wasn't like putting two and two together. I didn't even know SmackDown was in Denver, but I mean, it was great. You know, it was a little thing. And as I said, with the writer's strike, wouldn't be shocked if we see something going on with The Rock further on down the line. You know, you talked about the Roman match. The Rock is a politician, for better or for worse. He, you know, said that so we can get our hopes up and be like, oh, you know, they were going to have the match. But since 2022, you know, Vince lost his power. Then he got his power. Then Cody comes back. He gets hot. And then they have the match with Roman. So who knows what the real reason was. Maybe it was because I would presume it wasn't just money. There was like a reason for it. But The Rock is going to talk about that.
He literally said they wanted to do something truly special.
But what does that mean?
We don't know.
Exactly. That's my point. Just like a politician would speak. They say something, which means absolutely nothing.
They couldn't come up with it, so they put their pencils down.
I don't know. I still say Rock for president. Just saying.
Of course. Shout out to
Dwight. Well, if you see a young Rock, that didn't exactly plan out to what he lost, and the show got canceled. So, well, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Young Rock.
Well, that was a television show. This is real life. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, they played it off like it was a documentary. Or, you know, it was a reality show.
Katie, thoughts on The Rock coming back
in the future?
I popped so hard. I was watching it live and was not expecting that at all. I was already floored that Pat McAfee was back, even if it was just for one show, because y'all know I love Pat McAfee. But then to get The Rock and on top of that, I was like, I was so excited. Loved watching his interaction with Austin Theory. Austin bringing up the whole, you know, this is the first time that the fans have seen The Rock and Austin in a ring in a long time, blah, 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 blah. Such dynamite. So exciting.
It was more dynamite than Wednesday nights.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all know how I feel about that right now.
I mean, Austin Theory in the last year has been in the ring with The Rock, John Cena, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
They've been pushing him, and he's been benefiting from it, which is fantastic.
They could have picked anybody to be in this spot with The Rock.
Is he benefiting from it, though? I feel like Austin Theory is just so bland.
Listen, they're playing the long game, and he's still learning who he is. That's completely reasonable. And quite frankly, he's doing a kick-ass job of playing a decent heel.
I would have loved, honestly, I know they already had the Grayson Waller effect planned. I would have loved to see Grayson Waller go toe-to-toe with The Rock on the mic.
Oh, that would have been so fun, too.
I mean, he held his own against Cena in London. I mean, that... I think if Rock is making another appearance, we need to run that one up.
I can see that happening.
Yeah, speaking of Grayson Waller and the Grayson Waller effect, John Cena was on there. Jimmy Uso comes out there. They have a face-off. Solo comes out, and Cena and Solo face-off. People instantly, you know, think back to Royal Rumble 07 when Cena wrestled Umaga.
Definitely had those vibes.
Solo versus Cena? I mean,
Survivor Series?
I say we run it at the SmackDown and SAC since I'll be there. I say we do it there. I just say we do it there. Cena, you know, he needs to start getting wins, you know. Because, like, if Solo beats Cena, okay, sure. But, you know, we have to build back up the equity of John Cena.
Yes, and he shouldn't be putting over every single new star.
I mean, no, I mean, like, he could wrestle Grayson Waller, beat him, wrestle somebody else, beat them, and then go on to wrestle Solo, and then Solo can beat him.
Yeah.
You have to build it up a little bit.
Ebb and flow.
It's the transfer of energy. It happened when Brock took the Undertaker streak. It happened when Brock dismantled Cena. You know, all those things. It's a transfer of energy. Santos Escobar wants a shot at Rey Mysterio and the United States title, so I guess we're slowly starting to plant some seeds of a breakup of Santos and Rey. I'm here for.
Oh, I didn't really get that from that segment.
Because, like, if you followed Santos's career and, you know, the Legado del Fantasma when they were in NXT, you know, kind of this, it's like a mob boss vibe to him, you know. Mm-hmm. I could see.
Cartel.
No, listen, you've already got several people out to get you, Brandon. Can we not also
Tony D is the mob.
Can we not? Listen. We'd like you to stay on the show.
Well, we don't want two shellackings in two nights.
Which means let's not have any other hits be put out on you, okay?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I could see Santos losing a Ray, and then he has, oh my God, Cruz and Joaquin attack Ray. I could see that happening. Okay. And Zelina kind of being torn and whatnot. And maybe kicks out Zelina and brings back Electra Lopez. Just thought.
Please.
That's and interesting.
Who's the MMA fighter's name? I forget what her gimmick name is these days. Like,
Lopez.
Yeah, because they're running wild over there in NXT these days.
They're running wild. LA Knight once again defeated.
Respectfully, of course.
The Miz, LA Knight. Yeah, picking up another big win, continuing on the momentum. We love to see it. Outside the ring, PWI 500. The list came out after we had already recorded. So, Katie, please read us off the top 10 best wrestlers in the world according to Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
So, according to Pro Wrestling Illustrated, the top 500 and our top 10 are number one, Seth Rollins, number two, Roman Reigns, number three, Jon Moxley, number four, Gunther, number five, El Hijo del Vikingo, six, MJF, seven, Kazuchika Okada, number eight, Orange Cassidy, number nine, Josh Alexander, and rounding it out at number 10, Cody Rhodes. We did see some heat from Cody Rhodes' sister complaining about where he was in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, the dude main evented WrestleMania. How was he number 10?
I love Vikingo, but
how was Vikingo ahead of Cody Rhodes?
Right?
I mean, he
does a lot of things down in Mexico.
Sure. Okay, that's fine. But
okay, we're just gonna Cody Rhodes. Literally, the cartel's gonna come after you.
Cody Rhodes literally main evented the biggest WrestleMania of all time, the highest grossing. Yeah. WrestleMania
and then what happened? He lost. You lost.
Okay, so that don't matter.
I guess wins and losses don't matter these days.
He was in the main event.
I mean, he's still lost.
Higher than 10. I mean, like, you know me. You know that family business. I want Roman to be number one, but. I mean, it was nice to see the Shield top three and then Seth putting out the photo of their fists. I mean, Gunther at four, I don't...
I think that Gunther at four makes sense. Just anywhere in between the middle of the top 10 would make sense for Gunther.
If we could do what Seth, Roman, Moxley, throw Cody at... Throw Cody at... What number is Max?
MJF is six.
Okay.
So I would keep him at six. I would.
I'd throw Cody at least at number five.
Yeah, I would say top six would be Seth, Roman, John, Gunther,
Cody,
MJF.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I say this every year. Don't really care too much about the PWI 500.
Why?
Because
like, your favorite.
Hey, well.
I mean. It's a kayfabe list, and it's
but
like...
the other great thing about the PWI Top 500 is we do also get to see some of our local wrestlers on the list, which makes it even more exciting when it comes out because you get to see their name in print and see what they, you know, what sort of accolades PWI is seeing for them and where they're going next in their opinion. So that's always exciting. I actually would really like to talk about a couple of the people who are local to us and have recently made appearances here in the Bay. What do you think?
Yeah.
Nah, we can just skip those guys.
Whatever, Brandon, you're not involved.
Okay.
they are going to beat you up.
Right? All of them.
Add them to the list.
Starting from 500 and going down to one from there, Johnny Robbie was mentioned. Alpha Zoe came in at 480. Jive Adal was 418. Milo was 430. We've got Sandra Moon came in at 376. Juicy Finau was number 372, up from, I think, 380 last year, which is progress. Woo. Starboy Charlie was in at 302, Timothy Thatcher at 265, Jack Cartwheel at 237, 226 was Vinny Massaro, followed right after by Alan Angels at 225, Dark Sheik was 184, Titus Alexander was 152, Nick Wayne 147, Kevin Blackwood 109, at 82 was Trish Adora, And at 56 was Jacob Fatu. And running it out at 15 was Masha Slamovich. How exciting is that? We've got people ranging on this entire list.
Yeah, what about Brian Keith?
Why was he not in my list? Brian Keith was at 102. Yeah.
Brian, I mean, there are multiple people that have popped up over here. You got Lee Moriarty, you got Jay Bougie, other guys like that. But congrats to everybody that made the PWI 500, especially if it's your first time. I know that's always exciting.
Yeah, big excitement. Congratulations, y'all.
I will say, you know, I have my qualms with the high end and like, okay, whatever. But I will say for the indie talent, it is nice to see them. And it's, you know, something for them to flex and be like, look, I made it.
Bullet Cash Champion is on there. Come on, man.
Yeah, shout out AlphaZo. It's going to be higher, moving up. 300s next year.
Absolutely. Don't forget AlphaZo defends the Bullet Cast title. October 8th, collectible Stampede against Sirza. So that should be fun.
That's going to be a hell of a match.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, CM Punk comments on free time. He did one of his MMA commentary gigs. First real public appearance since being let go from AEW. He said, you know, he has some free time for the next 2 months. That got people talking. Oh, 2 months, Survivor Series, Chicago, and all these things. So is he just taking a break? Does he have a no-compete? People are talking.
It's just CM Punk trolling. I think people know that Chicago is Survivor Series is in 2 months, and he's just playing into that. So I don't read too much into it.
Well, from one fill to another, you know, we do like to troll a little bit.
A little bit.
Yes,
just a little.
As you guys saw earlier today. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We shall see.
No CM Punk lawsuits apparently to AEW, so I guess that's a good sign. We're not dragging this out even more than it has to be.
That we know of.
I don't know.
Katie got her inside sources.
We shall see. Another departed AEW star. Apparently, Jade Cargill has apparently left AEW and was WWE bound. Reports are that she will be at the Performance Center this week. I gotta see. I mean, Randy Orton was there because I saw a video, so I believe it.
I saw a picture of Jade.
That was from a few years ago. That's not recent at all.
No, I mean, she was in the Performance Center.
Okay. All right.
But if I can be serious for a second, shout out Lance Storm.
Yeah,
it is a big blow to AEW. I mean, one of their homegrown people, she never like got to that next level. But honestly, like we've seen with their women's division at this point, I think it's kind of like capped at what they're going to do with it. And I think at her size, the AEW women's division is kind of small. So I think going to WWE is probably a better move for her. She can go, you know, Rhea, Charlotte, Bianca, Nia Jax, you know, bigger women that kind of match her size and physicality. So,
I mean, even if they put her in NXT, that's still going to be a big difference in the women's division from NXT versus AEW. She's still going to have more to work with.
The biggest thing here is she can get reps on house shows. AEW does not offer that.
Exactly. You know,
when people make these mistakes on TV, it's like, oh my God, people criticize, you know, the WWE schedule and the house shows. That's so people can fine tune things in front of different audiences. So, I mean, put her out there with like Natalya and whoever else, you know, just have her wrestling on house shows, you know, until you want to debut her on television.
Yeah. Give her the practice that she deserves.
Let her run it up, throw her in the Royal Rumble. I mean, can you imagine the match? Could you imagine the matches that we could have? You mentioned something.
I still kind of have, like, honestly, I do have questions about her, like, in-ring talent, which I think is going to be an issue going forward. Because, I mean, she did get better on AEW.
That's why you have her wrestle at house shows to fine-tune things.
Okay,
that's why you have her wrestle at house shows. That's why you have her do NXT. Yeah. The idea is you give her the building blocks and the ability to fine tune her abilities.
Yes,
but that's not always a guarantee that you can just send someone down to NXT and they're going to magically be, you know, Sasha Banks or Becky Lynch or whoever.
Nobody's expecting her to be Sasha Banks or Becky Lynch. They're expecting her to be Cargill.
Jade Cargill knows who she is. Let her fine-tune the timing, the footwork, and everything in the ring down there. Hell, they may just want to brush her to the main roster. That could be fine, too. But I'm saying, let her work down there at the Performance Center. I mean, look who's down there, man. Norman Smiley, you know, Shawn Michaels. She'll be fine. Mm-hmm. She'll be fine. She's literally Shawn Michaels, literally the greatest of all time. One of the greatest of all time down there with her. She'll be cool. You know what I'm saying?
I have my questions. I mean, there's a lot of people on the Twitter machine that, you know, I know it's an ecosystem, but they're like, oh my God, Jade Cargill's this like stamped home run, can't miss talent. And I'm like, okay, I still have some question marks. I don't know if that exactly, it can happen, but I also think, you know, maybe she doesn't live up to her full potential, which is very high according to a lot of people.
I mean, well, she never hit the next level over there. They literally created a title for her to have because
which is what I was saying. Like that, we keep wanting AEW's women division to be something, and it's not really. I mean, like the Saraya's title is just like her and the Outcast and Friends, and then like even now the TBS title is just like its own little ecosystem, like when Jade had it.
The TBS
I have title, a lot of issues with AEW.
TBS title it's not even on the radar anymore.
No.
I mean, she made it something and then...
Isn't it held by, like, Chris Statlander right now or something?
Yeah, and I have a whole problem with that. The whole match she had with Britt Baker, because all that made no sense.
Yeah, no.
But, like, no, I mean, Jade versus Bianca, Jade versus Rhea... Jade versus Nia would be you could build it as what the irresistible force and the immovable object. Jade versus Charlotte. I heard Sam Roberts say, you know, you do the kind of run back the Starrcade 93 story, you know, when Flair, he was still Ric Flair, but he was a babyface and he wrestled the monster Vader. Make Charlotte the babyface, make her still be Charlotte Flair, and she wrestles the force that is Jade Cargill. I could see you doing something like that. Why not? Sure. Just let's do different things.
I mean,
Jade versus Becky, Jade versus Bayley, Jade versus Asuka, Jade versus Io.
There are so many people that she could train with and work with and do matches with, and we could see so many great things come from her. I think that if she really is, you know, WWE bound, I think it's a great move for her.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm excited to see what could happen if this is true. I mean, for her last match to just be at a Rampage is kind of,
yeah,
that's kind of just eh.
Like,
I don't know why you would do that.
It just all of it was not done in a way that it should have been done. No. For someone who held a championship for so long in your company, you're just gonna have her do her last match on a Rampage? Like,
yeah,
what?
Well, if they came to terms or if a contract is running out, I mean, what else are you going to do? You're going to put her in like a 2-month storyline just for her to lose?
Oh, you're going to give her something, a grand slam.
Mm-hmm.
You could do the Rampage grand slam, but timing wise, we don't know how her contract is or what happened.
Apparently we know everything about AEW because it all gets reported.
All of it.
We know how many people are backstage reported and breathing at the same time because it all gets reported there. We know when a pin drops backstage.
We know what the catering menu looks like.
Exactly. We know everything because it all gets reported, which yet another thing I have an issue with AEW.
We know who likes room temp water and who likes chilled water because it all gets reported.
I need to know who's a room temperature water.
Oh, Jack Perry. It's one of the reasons why he gets.
No wonder.
Anyway, moving on. AEW could potentially be doing 12 pay-per-views a year. Why?
I think it lines up with the possibility of a deal with Max.
Sure. But they have something good. This is one of the things where AEW benefits from their pay-per-view model. A quarterly pay-per-view. You build it up. That's why you do the big like grand slams and the Winter is Coming Dynamites, because you have, you know, you do big stuff on TV to fill until you get to the pay-per-view. I don't think they need to do this. I really don't.
Neither do I. I also don't think that they have enough. This is going to sound so bad. I don't think that they have enough clout to hold 12 pay-per-views a year and still get the amount of subscribership that they want.
Yeah, I mean, like, you see WrestleDream, the Ring of Honor tag title is going to be on the line What about the ring? What about the heavyweight title of your company? Why isn't that going to be defended? That's another thing. You know, at least in the Attitude Era, when the world champion was a tag champion, he would defend both on the same night. Jesus.
Yeah.
Brandon, what are your thoughts on these 12 papers?
I mean,
allegedly,
like Katie said, it Max is going to have some sort of Bleacher Report $10 add-on. And if this were to be the case, I would presume that means these pay-per-views are going to be quote unquote free or at some sort of discount. So at that aspect, I'm like, okay with it. Like running 12 pay-per-views a year, charging us $50-$60. There's no way AEW can sustain that. And I mean, Tony Khan said a couple months ago, like he wants to do more pay-per-views, and we're seeing it with, you know, the back-to-back All In, All Out, Wrestle Dream Now, Full Gears in November. So far, there's nothing booked for December, but you never know. We're going to have like a Christmas, we're going to have a Starcade or something on Christmas weekend.
This is how I feel. Like, it feels like Tony Khan is desperately trying to keep up with WWE, when instead of doing that, he should just be trying to make his own show. And
yeah, like,
I think
that's... Oh, no, keep going. I'm sorry.
I think that's where he fails in this, is he's trying to be something that is already structured and has its own merits. He needs to go out and do his own thing. Staying with the 6 pay-per-view model a year, better idea, allows people to gain more hype.
I mean, even because like he added Forbidden Door, it's even kind of that gets rushed also.
It does.
Immediately after like what, Double or Nothing, right? Yeah.
It is, yeah.
I mean, I don't...
I also think Turner Warner Brothers does have some culpability in this, because I think they're asking for more content, and with the writer strike, wrestling is a great low cost option to generate revenue. So I think they're, you know, it's twofold, but we're seeing like with Rampage, Collision, Dynamite, they're like just running cities dry, like let alone just like saturating the television market, they're saturating the live event market. And I just don't know how viable it is now once if you start adding pay-per-views on top. Like Full Gear, I've seen like the ticket sales for that are like good, but it wasn't like what it was back in the day when like instant 10,000 seats were sell out for these buildings. They've kind of gone to the major buildings, which I guess is good for business, but I don't know, definitely stagnating with their ticket sales.
Yeah, I mean, just if you want to, like, they do what, Revolution, Double or Nothing, I guess Forbidden Door now, and then you have All Out and
All In.
Okay, if you see, that's another thing. Like, stick to what you know, TK. Tony, I'm sorry, can't call him TK. That belongs to Tony.
I mean, he said that All In was supposed to be a Max show, and the technology, whatever that means, wasn't there. So I think if All In was
2023, how is the technology not there? That doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, I think being in a different continent does help, you know, does hurt things a little bit, but I think they meant like on the streaming side of things,
I guess,
because Max doesn't do live shows now, I don't think.
Not yet, but they are working on a deal with Bleacher Report to add a separate add-on to Max where you get live sports.
Damn, it's crazy.
However, when I was reading that article about that, they were not including AEW in the add-on package. So that could mean that AEW itself may end up being its own separate add-on, or it could be part of Max as a whole, and just be included in the membership when you subscribe to Max. But that also does not say whether or not that the pay-per-views themselves for AEW will be an add-on price or if they'd be included. Now, if it were me making the decisions and I wanted to keep up with WWE, which it seems like Tony Khan wants to do, I would do the same thing that WWE has done, make sure that all the pay-per-views are on Max as an included benefit when you subscribe, because it not only gives AEW the viewership that they want, but it also gives Max the ability to retain more subscribers, thus making them add value to the platform as a whole.
And AEW probably can get a nice little bonus check, whatever the, because I don't remember how much Peacock paid for WWE, but let's say AEW gets half of that. I'm pretty sure.
They paid, what, like 20 million, I think it was?
20 million. So, yeah, I mean, you get like a $10 million or $5 million since they're like kind of in bed with them, little bonus that kind of offsets. And maybe they still do offshore, not offshore, but, you know, international pay-per-views. Who knows?
We'll
or everyone just go buy a VPN and then get fight pay-per-views for like $20.
Yes. WWE tryouts happened. Let's talk about that. Brandon, I believe you have the list.
Oh, I do have a list.
Of the people who tried out.
You know, it's been a while since we've had like a full-blown WWE tryout with a lot of indie names, some wrestlers, actual wrestlers in there. So we got a few. We got Richard Holiday, Maddie Rinkowski, Copeland Barbie, David Goldie, Jay Malachi, Brogan Finley, Malachi. He doesn't have a K like Malachi Black. But anyways, Brogan Finley, which is the son of Fit Finley and brother of David Finley, Jamie Stanley, Ray Jazz, Hollywood Haley J, Kelsey Heather.
That's an excellent name.
Valentina Rosie, Jasmine Allure, and Demarius Largo. So a lot of some AEW Dark people, some NWA, some MLW. So some notable-ish independent names.
Familiar with Jasmine Allure. Obviously, the Finley name sticks out. Jay Malachi just wrestled at the West Coast Cup out here 2 months ago. So there's that. Was it last month? And then obviously Richard Holiday, former MLW Tag Team Champion. He was in the Dynasty with Hammerstone and MJF. So, interested to see where that talent goes. Let's get in the fan mail. We actually have fan mail this week.
Hooray.
All right. Dun, 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 dun. Who do you 420?
Who do you?
Wonder if Phil will actually show up at Survivor Series with the new merger. It actually makes sense. We talked about that. We have to wait and see. Dan. Becky Lynch being in the NXT Women's Champ is a great choice. It brings more eyes to the product, and with her on their upcoming PLE, it's going to sell extra tickets for sure.
Yep.
That's the plan. I hope so. Robert Walker. AEW Wrestle Dream needs multiple big matches. I'm going to love Danielson versus ZSJ, but there needs to be more. What other matches can they add to the card to make it feel special?
Honestly, I don't know, because I believe a lot of the Japanese New Japan talent is already booked or not going to be able to be there. So you can't get, you know, your Okadas or Will Ospreys or, you know, Tanahashis or whoever. So that kind of hinders things.
There's one match I can think of, but we can't have it because the guy got fired. You do Kenta versus Punk.
Could do that. I mean,
Battle of the GTS.
It does look like we're getting Ibushi versus Takeshita, which I know isn't like a big time dream match that everyone's going to shell out $50 for, but that's going to be a really good match if Ibushi's up for it, which we haven't seen a singles Ibushi match in AEW yet. So I think that, I don't know if that counts, but I think that's probably the best we're going to get in terms of like a dream match or outside ventures.
What's the status on Mercedes Moné? Do we know? How's the ankle healing?
From what I've heard, I mean, it seems fine. I mean, it looks as though they do want Stardom women there at the show.
If Jade is still with the company or whatever, could you imagine Jade Cargo versus Mercedes Moné at WrestleDream?
I mean, that'd be pretty amazing, but
Moné.
I'm not seeing anything in regards to a Google search except for things from like July.
Yeah. I mean, there were rumors that maybe she was going to be today at Grand Slam. Nothing happened.
See, if she worked at AEW, we'd know everything, but that's not the case. It's not the case. Unfortunate. Yeah. I don't know what else they can do. We'll have to wait and see. Monday Night Raw, so Drew McIntyre, Russell, Jey Uso. Hell of a match. Really, really solid match. Drew McIntyre gets the win. And Judgment Day wanted an answer from Jey by the end of the night. Jey said no. He gets beat down by the Judgment Day, and McIntyre, the slow burn to his heel turn is starting. He just walked away from Jey. So I like that. Cody went out there to make the save. Katie, what are your thoughts on the McIntyre-Uso match and then everything that unfolded after?
I mean, the McIntyre-Uso match was incredible. I mean, solid wrestling from both of them. But really where I was invested was the beatdown by Judgment Day. Jey Uso saying no. Drew McIntyre just walking away. We're definitely seeing a heel turn there. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do as a heel, because really all I've ever seen of him has been babyface.
Oh, so you didn't see the Scottish psychopath?
No, I never saw that.
I need him to take the title off of Seth. I think that'd be so good.
I think that would be really cool.
I just, you know, one claymore, boom, and he's the world champion, and he finally gets his moment in front of a crowd. So we kind of finish that story, put a bow on that. Brandon, what are your thoughts?
If contract status wise, I think Drew as a heel being a foil to Seth is a great choice. I did really like the contrasting of images of, you know, Drew walking away, not helping out Jay, while Cody, you know, the white meat, all American baby face comes in to makes the save. So you get kind of that contrasting visual there. So I thought that was great. But
and also there's something we can do with them, because they should be tag team champions together.
There you go.
So
I mean, this Jey Uso on Raw with Cody and the Judgment Day, there's like so many different, you know, webs and so many different arching stories that are coming off it, which, you know, it's not like the most super in-depth intriguing thing in the world, but I just think it's a good story that they're telling right now on Raw to, you know, fill out 3 hours.
Well, not only that, but if you think about it, they've been alluding to the fact that there are a ton of people in the locker room on Raw that have it out for Jay because of everything that he did while he was in the Bloodline. As we witnessed in this particular Raw, you know, even KO is like, listen, I hear what you guys are saying, and I know you guys are saying I should give him a second chance, but I don't think I can. I think that this gives a lot of it gives a lot of adversity to Jay's storyline in particular, and I think we'll see a redemption arc throughout the next probably few months, where he just slowly but surely becomes a major face in on Raw. I think that that's what's going to happen.
He gets the Bret Hart WrestleMania 10 treatment. He finally wins the big one. He wins over the entire locker room. They all put him on their shoulders, and everyone's one big happy family.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily go that far, but I think that he'll be able to come to terms with people and, you know, make amends.
Yeah. I mean, Jay's over. His people just putting their hands up and down, and it's a sight, you know. Cody Rhodes defeats Dominic Mysterio, Dirty Dom, and the KO questions Cody about why he had Jay move to Raw, and Cody still hasn't really answered that. Which is, nope. You know, people think we're prolonging the inevitable of Cody going to SmackDown to eventually challenge Roman to finish that story. But if, you know, if The Rock said on Pat McAfee, there's a WrestleMania in Philly, so then that's a whole other thing thrown in there. Which, here, we could talk about this right now. If The Rock is available for WrestleMania 40, that's the match you do.
Of course.
That's the match. I mean, there's nothing bigger.
No,
the Rock.
I mean, there is. It's still a two-night WrestleMania.
No. You don't even do that. You don't even do that. I mean, think about this, man. If there is a possibility to have Rock versus Roman, let's say CM Punk comes to WWE, you do something like that. Let's say John Cena is available. You could have the biggest WrestleMania truly of all time.
You really could. I mean,
and you have Roman Reigns for a fourth year in a row in the same title reign. Retain the title, go to SummerSlam, have Cody beat him there. That way Roman beats Hogan's record for holding the championship, and you finish the story there. Do the SummerSlam, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, if we're trying to pan this all the way out to SummerSlam, there needs to be some real big changes in the bloodline or Roman's character by that point, because they cannot peel that out till what was that? A 10-month story?
They've stretched it for 3 years.
And it's already really, it's paper thin at this point, I'll be honest.
How's it paper thin?
I mean, they just keep, like, Roman's not even there. So they're, like, literally not
Roman
doing anything
with
him right
now. Roman doesn't
need
to be there.
His title reign is you. I mean, you watch UFC. How often do those guys defend their championships? A couple times a year. Am I right?
Correct.
Same with boxing.
Crazy that's thought.
That's the UFC allure.
And boxing is not WWE. They're not
boxing,
out there.
Boxing is not WWE.
Okay. That is the allure that they are putting on.
Boxing's fake.
Well, we know that.
We know that.
But that is the allure that they are trying to put on, that he is a big match fighter. So when the big match occurs, that's when he will show up and defend his championship a couple times a year. That's what they are doing. That's why Seth is world champion. He can be the workhorse champion, defend it all, do all that stuff.
And he does a great job being the workhorse.
That's why he's number one on the PWI.
Darn straight.
So right now the story is Solo is kind of on his own, just doing whatever he wants. Paul Heyman can't get a grasp on things. Jimmy is, who knows what's going on with Jimmy. So then what does Roman do when he comes back?
I've already explained what's going on with Jimmy. I explained that last week. Were you not paying attention?
I have short-term memory. Too many concussions.
They're concussions from what?
Well, you know, back when I was 10, you know, still developing brain, Marcos from Shamrock Realty, you know, beamed me right in the head. I probably shouldn't have been wearing that helmet because it was my Tebow helmet. So this like 7-year-old helmet, and it just cracked and incinerated and never was the same after that day.
Okay, that's
a lot.
You said too many. That's one story.
Hey, it just takes one. Also developing brain.
No. So played. Then it's not too many. It's just one.
Well, it's one. Well,
so then your argument is false. Anyway,
one concussion is too many concussions.
The point I made last week.
Don't downplay concussions.
Jimmy got his brother out of the bloodline, thought they would be together, saw that his brother wanted to be the tribal chief, cost him that. You know, Jay left, now he's on Raw. He doesn't want to be alone. He doesn't know how to be alone. So he's trying to get back in with the bloodline and with Solo and Heyman and Roman. That's what's going on. Jimmy doesn't know how to be on his own. That's why he's trying
just
to
a
get
lost
back.
Little puppy.
That's why he's trying to get back in there. That's what's going on. Also, Becky Lynch retained the NXT title against Natalya. Good stuff.
Allegedly, it's supposed to be Tegan Nox, and then they're like, "Yeah, no, we're just gonna have Natty do it instead."
How do we know that?
Because the internet told me. The internet's always right. Because apparently, no. You know, if we know everything about AEW, then I guess we should know some things about WWE.
No. WWE runs a tight ship.
We don't hear any news from WWE at all.
I mean, it's
only what they want us to hear.
Like I said, I don't believe until I see some photography, a video, something. Or if, you know, of course, the higher ups in the company say it, then of course, you know. But moving on from that, let's get to NXT. Melo versus Dom, hell of a match. Ilya Dragunov getting involved. Oh, man, Ilya versus Melo is going to be something special. I almost want to go to No Mercy. I almost want to go. But I can't.
But you don't want to go to Bakersfield.
I've had some of the best barbecue I've ever had in Bakersfield. Hold on now. Don't sleep on Bakersfield now. Mechanics Bank Arena? Hey, man. Shout out. You also have Becky and Valkyria, or Val. How do you say her
Valkyrie?
Name? No, it's
Valkyrie.
No, it's with an A.
Valkyria.
Valkyria, yes. They defeat Stratton and James.
I mean, did you guys listen to that Becky Lynch promo? I mean, good God, it was terrible. Suffer and Succotash got nothing on that promo. She's out here doing. I know it's maybe NXT. She's going back to her roots, doing a little Irish poem. But let's just not rhyme the entire women's division.
Why not? Why can't you do that?
It's just stupid.
It was something different.
Something different doesn't mean it's good. Just, you know, Vince Russo, bro, I got an idea we've never done, but wrestling's never seen before, bro. It's going to be great. It's going to be different, bro.
There will be no Vince Russo impersonations on this show.
Sorry, bro.
And then you have Butch defeating Tyler Bates. They ran it back for the first time in like 6 years. Good stuff. You'll have to see it. NXT, great job. Moving on, AEW Grand Slam happened. Eddie Kingston is now the Ring of Honor World Champion. He defeated Claudio Castagnoli. Go check out Baby Huey's interview from In the Click with Claudio Castagnoli. It's about 14 minutes. Real solid interview.
Yeah, you know, Eddie coming back home in New York. Big pop for him winning. You know, finally, he gets his moment. Maybe writes off my prediction that he's going to be the one to dethrone MJF. But it was nice to see Eddie finally win the quote-unquote big one, even though it is just the ROH title. But
hot take. MJF good moment for him. Lost it tonight. Hot take. Anyway, Jericho defeats Sammy Guevara. Impressive codebreaker counter from a shooting star. And then a low blow reminiscent of WrestleMania 19 from Seattle.
Sammy wearing the same color trunks.
Yes, greatest WrestleMania of all time, in my opinion. Katie, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, having gotten to meet Sammy, I was all in for rooting for him anyway. So I was super excited.
There you go.
About the whole match. I mean, for me personally, I wasn't very happy that, you know, he lost, but it is what it is.
I do agree that the story is kind of, I mean, I get it. They're like supposed to be friends at the end of it, but I think you have Sammy win that match and then you low blow him.
Yeah.
I just don't think Jericho loses much from it. And you hit the low blow, he can still chase him.
So. Jericho's lost too much. It's the thing. It's about transferring energy. You lose.
Okay, so then Sammy is gonna get a win and like be, he's gonna win the feud. Like if he wins the feud, like sure, I guess. But
yeah,
I think it makes. But I think like the story leading into it is like, oh, you know, you got me. Like, you know, Sammy gets one up on Jericho. He's like, oh man, you know, you beat me, but we're still buddies, right? And then they shake hands, and then Dick kicks Eddie.
Yeah. Phoenix defeats Moxley
in the match. Shawn Michaels won, right? No, yes. Right? Okay, so I mean they are trying to go verse for verse, but we can switch up a little bit.
Phoenix wins the international title from Moxley. Botched finish.
Moxley gets spiked on his head. And then what do we do after Moxley can't move his arms? We give him another pile driver and then we pin him. So just absolutely fantastic job. I get it. It's live TV. You are in the moment. I don't know what Moxley said, but I did not need Moxley to get dumped on his head again. But seems like he's quote unquote fine. He walked off and he seems as okay as you can be after that.
Yeah, I would have just counted the three. You know, the commentary tried to save it like, oh, there was a twitch. The camera was zoomed in right on that shoulder. It was not moving. Right.
I mean, and that's why I feel like referees in general should just count the pin. Like, because if something legit happened,
well, Brandon,
you can fix it in post.
Brandon, maybe you should come train and be a referee.
Maybe.
If only there's a place where you can learn how to do that.
I don't think there is.
Gosh, I wonder where that could be.
There, I know of two schools where you could go.
Yeah. Same. I know of three.
Oh man,
what?
You know what? There's four in NorCal.
I'm gonna fast count everybody. You better kick out real quick.
You're gonna get heated up in the back. Don't do that. All right.
Yeah, don't do that.
Saraya retains the woman's title. There was a hammer lock and a lip lock apparently going down. Yeah. So is Tony Storm Marilyn Monroe adjacent now? Like what?
She's the AEW starlet. I mean, I'm getting a kick out of her gimmick. She's definitely like over the top and kind of in the same sense of Juice Robinson, but obviously in a completely different type character. And I think it's fantastic. I don't know. I mean, I would love for her to like be top champion because she's super talented, but
wasn't she already?
Well, I mean, in this current iteration,
that didn't really work out.
I mean,
give her the TBS.
I like her antics. I actually think she would make an excellent TBS champion. But
brings her credibility back to it. That's what you do.
Yes, exactly. But no, I'm liking her over the top personality. It is very akin to a Marilyn Monroe esque character.
She gonna sing "Happy Birthday, Mr. President"?
Oh, if she did, I'd be floored.
That'd be something. Yeah, I mean, shout out to Saraya. I mean, a year ago, she debuted in that building, and a year later, she's the champ. No debuts tonight. People were expecting them.
Yeah, nothing super crazy. Just matches.
Super crazy.
Super crazy.
He will also be at Collectible Stampede October 8th. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
The same place where AlphaZoe is going to defend the Bulletcast heavyweight title against Sirza.
Buy tickets now.
It's free. It's free. And then lastly,
buy your imaginary tickets now.
MJF retains the AEW World title against Samoa Joe. You know what? When Joe hit that muscle buster, I was like, oh my God, are they really about to do this? I thought, and Tony Khan, of course he wasn't going to do it. Should have pulled that trigger.
Why not? They sprinkled in some vignettes throughout the show of Adam Cole visiting Roddy, MJF and Adam Cole pulling up in the Lamborghini or the Ferrari, and then Adam Cole had to leave to go check on Roddy again. No idea what the hell happened, but end of the match, Adam Cole jumps off the connecting ramp, seems to roll his ankle, twist his ankle, and he was hobbled for the rest of the match. He didn't do anything super physical, but you could definitely tell he was limping. And because we know everything about AEW, he's gone to the hospital. So prayers up. Hopefully nothing too serious.
Went to a local medical facility?
Yep. So, I mean, MJF wins. They cheated to win, and Adam Cole was in on it. So I don't know if now they're going to be baby faces but heels at the same time, which just convolutes the story even more.
So you really had Samoa Joe lose the match for the real world title and then lose the match for the actual world title? Come on, brother. What are we doing?
I do think if CM Punk was still at the company, we would be getting that MJF Punk match at Full Gear.
I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, oh, God. Now we're just left without it.
And we got Funny Haha running wild in the main event's title scene. And everyone doubted me. Oh my God, you hate fun. What's going on with AEW? It's in the toilet. I was right.
Give me the pencil. Somebody give me the pencil. I will give you the matches that you want to see. I will re-sign CM Punk. We will get at WrestleDream. We will get Kenny Omega versus CM Punk for the real world title.
Phillip is going to make it happen. Mend all the fences.
On a big episode of Dynamite, you're going to get on a big episode of Collision, you're going to get CMFTR versus the Elite. You're going to have Swerve beat Hangman at WrestleDream. You're just going to get it all from me. You're going to have the heel turn. You're going to have Adam Cole turn on MJF. They lose the Ring of Honor tag titles at WrestleDream. Not WrestleDream.
All the AEW champions will be black.
Well, I didn't. Now you're just assuming things.
Well, I mean, you know, you say we don't have enough champions. I think it'd be a great idea. Swerve should be world champion. You know, Athena's been doing good stuff on Ring of Honor that no one's watching. I think she should be getting a push on AEW.
I'd give the Ring of Honor woman's title. Put that on Willow Nightingale. Yeah.
I mean, match was good. Back to the MJF. I mean, MJF, I think he wrestles good as a babyface. I just hate all of his antics and his promos as a babyface. I just think they don't work. He doesn't have good instincts for that.
Well, he's still a scumbag.
Well, when you're out here doing a Steiner Math promo, trying to be like super serious, and clearly it's just for giggles. Like, I just don't think that's the type of chord we're trying to strike in a intense match with Samoa Joe in one of the biggest matches of the year.
Yeah.
I know. I'm no fun, but what do I know?
Katie, do you have any thoughts on any of this? I know we just went on a tangent, but...
We booked the territory.
I booked the territory.
You know how I feel about AEW right now.
Yep.
She loves it. Everything is fantastic. There's absolutely no problems with it. Keep doing your thing, Tony.
See, this is the humor. We know you're being sarcastic, but it's still not needed.
Sorry. Super serious. Serious as a heart attack.
Man, it's in a toilet. It needs to change.
It needs a lot of work.
Like, it's, you know what? You know how I feel about AEW right now, guys? You guys ever seen Tommy Wiseau's The Room?
Yes.
I would watch that over and over and
great
over
movie.
And over again.
Katie would watch Black Adam again before she watches AEW.
before I take AEW seriously in a while.
Okay, it's not that bad. So it's AEW Dynamite, and then 50 Feet of Shit, then Black Adam. Got it.
Oh, Black Adam is over AEW Dynamite, 1,000%.
I finally watched Black Adam, and I wanted it to be good.
Don't discredit Dwayne. Remember, that's
he wasn't the issue. He wasn't the issue. The issue was the writing and the producers. There was a clear
storyline. That's why there's a strike, guys.
Like, there was a clear storyline they could have had, and they didn't do it, and it just didn't. The movie was all over the place.
The writing and the production of Black Adam is what led to the strike we have right now.
I didn't say that.
I didn't say that either. I mean, I said it, but these aren't my thoughts. These are Brandon's thoughts.
Yeah, this is Brandon's doing.
Yes. I think that's going to do it. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap this?
Are you saying what do we want to talk about?
What do we want to talk about?
What do we want to talk about?
I heard maybe we're going to actually do an episode of that after like 6 months of teasing.
What did I say about your humor? What did I say?
I'm not joking around. I'm being serious.
It hasn't been 6 months.
Are you sure?
Look it up.
Yes.
It's been a good amount of time. But
production for greatness takes time.
We are excited for that.
Production is going to be crazy.
Yes. The craziest it's ever been. But do you guys have anything you want to say? Yes? No?
Superstar Spotlight. I'm going to give it to Loverboy Leo, who ended his feud with Camacho at Big Toko's Kickback.
Yeah, my guy. Let me praise Loverboy Leo. And I've been in the ring. I've wrestled Loverboy Leo on the fly. My guy is good. He needs to be booked more places. A Canadian destroyer off the top rope into the Love Struck clothesline. Beautiful. One of the best finishes I've ever seen. I was like, hey, brother, when'd you start doing Canadian destroyers? He was like, oh, today. First time he'd ever did it. Picture perfect.
Absolutely amazing. It looked incredible. I got to see highlights. I fully, fully just so proud of Loverboy Leo and so excited to see where he goes.
What about you?
Are we doing Superstar Spotlight? Let's see. I don't know. Shout out to Toni Storm. She might have lost, but she won the fans today. And Eddie King, you know what? Shout out to Toni Storm, but also Eddie Kingston. He finally won. It's about damn time.
Okay.
Push him to the moon. Put the rock to his back.
Okay, alright.
Alright, Philip, what's the promo pick of the week? And the match pick of the week.
Okay, match pick of the week. 1984, Kerry Von Erich versus Ric Flair for the world title at the, David Von Erich fundraiser. Promo pick of the week. The Rock cutting down Booker T and Rhino. You all know the one. You all know the one I'm talking about.
Thank you, everybody. There's going to be a test on this next week.
Where he says, mother, you know. Superstar Spotlight, everybody that participated at Oasis Pros, Big Toko's Kickback 2. Absolutely fantastic. We active October 7th, Gilman Brewery. You got Parisi versus Alpha Zoe. You got Serza versus Alonzo Alvarez and more. You don't want to miss it. Thank you all so much. As always, be safe.
Tickets are already on sale.
You cut off the intro. Oh, my goodness.
You didn't tell them. Tickets are already on sale. Very important.
Promote. You cut off the intro. You don't cut off the intro. When I'm on a roll with the intro, you don't cut it off. Now it's lost all its luster. Now the show's just going to end. And it's not going to have
It's never ending.
Forever. Going on forever.
It's not
going
to have a nice crescendo, you know, to it. It's just going to end like this. This elite podcast in here. Ain't nobody better. Look. Yeah. Listen to us every time we live in the side.
one you turning on is just dividing the mind. If you feel it, our opinions is great. When everything we moving now with the state, turn us on if the feeling is right. Every opinion now comes from the heart. No time we move with a part. We on the radio, it's wrestling. Time's aggression. Here is the feeling in the pool. Get the lesson. And if you want to prove it to you now, here's the feeling in the time and everything that we did. Listen to the senators connecting it.